You're listening to Review Deja Vu, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Lisa Donovan.
Hello, I'm Lisa Donovan, editor of the Review magazine, and I'll be your host today. My guest is Lou Glazer, president of Michigan Future, Inc. Welcome, Lou.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you. Today, our topic is going to be talent attraction. And in our September-October magazine, that was the topic of the issue, as well as an article written by Lou. The main emphasis of his article was a recent report by Michigan Future, Inc., called A Path to Good-Paying Careers for All Michiganders, a 21st Century State Policy Agenda. And one of your premises in your report is that in the 21st century, talent has become much more of an economic driver for cities, states, and individuals. Used to be capital, materials, those kinds of things. How has talent become such an important driver of the economy?
Well, I think largely because of how the economy's changed, largely due to globalization, but increasingly technology automation, which is that sort of more and more of the good-paying jobs now are knowledge jobs. And those jobs require college attainment so that you end up with, when you look around the country, you end up with the exception of places with lots of oil and natural gas, all the other places around the country that are prosperous because they have a high proportion of adults with a four-year degree or more. And that's, in essence, Michigan's challenge. We're low in college attainment, therefore we're now low in per capita income.
We do have good universities here, and we do produce some talented grads, but a lot of them seem to be leaving here.
Correct.
Going other places, other cities. What cities are they going to, and what do you think is attracting them there?
25 to 34-year-olds, college-educated millennials, are way over-concentrating in big metropolitan areas. So like 95% live in a metro. So if you look at a map of where they live, it's like most of the country is like empty. But then half of them live in 20 large metros. And in each of those large metros, they're anchored by a vibrant central city. So the characteristics are pretty clear, which is high density, high amenity neighborhoods where you don't have to own a car. That's really what's attracting young college graduates. And at the moment, Michigan doesn't have a lot of high density, high amenity neighborhoods, and we probably have no neighborhood where you don't have to own a car.
Right. Well, we are the car state. That is a challenge always in the state.
Right. Well, it used to not be a challenge. Now it is.
So what can Michigan communities do to keep some of those grads here? And kind of, it sounds like you're talking a lot about placemaking, too.
It's all placemaking.
Making those communities desirable for those grads to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of things can our local communities do to keep those grads here?
Right. So I think it's both retain and attract. Mm-hmm. It is keep those who grow up here and attract those from other places. All the places around the country that are prosperous have at least one central city and metro area that you could describe as a talent magnet. They're attracting talent from around the planet. So there are two basic attributes, I think. One is this notion of being welcoming to all. The places that are attracting talent are welcoming. So they're gay-friendly, they're immigrant-friendly, they're friendly to people of all sorts of different backgrounds, and Michigan's struggling with that. So that's really important. If you're not welcoming, people don't come, period.
Right.
But second is what, you know, you and I describe as placemaking. It is having the infrastructure, a 21st century infrastructure, anchored by sort of a high-quality transit system, also bike and walking friendly. So transportation infrastructure matters enormously. But it's infrastructure, basic services, and amenities. That requires public investments in those kinds of things. It requires the public investments be done in a way to create dense rather than sprawled kind of communities. That's the formula. And at the moment, we're, Michigan is a laggard on that really across the state.
I understand you, in your report, you made quite a few policy recommendations to try and get us moving more in the direction of keeping and attracting all those college grads. Can you tell me some of those recommendations?
Right. Well, I think it's basically what I just laid out, which is welcoming a set of policies that are welcoming, a set of policies that allow for the creation, particularly in Metro Detroit and Metro Grand Rapids, which are sort of the two metros that have a chance of competing at scale nationally with the talent magnets like Boston, Washington, New York, Seattle, San Francisco, Denver, Minneapolis, Austin, all the places that you know about. But it's not just there. It's really any place across the state. It is public investments that will allow you to have the infrastructure, basic services, and amenities that attract talent. And then we basically propose doing that in two ways. One, by removing virtually all restrictions on local government funding. At the moment, there's a zillion different restrictions that don't allow local governments to raise money to do any of those things.
Right, right.
And then secondly, we really have ended up proposing, I don't know if ultimately we're going to use the term, but you can think of it almost as super revenue sharing. It is this notion of keeping in-state government money that is necessary to fund sort of critical state infrastructure and services. But other than that, sending all the money or leaving all the money with local regions without any restrictions that it will allow them to use the money for those things, infrastructure, basic services, and amenities in a way that's customized to every community's needs so that you don't have the same policy for Ishpeming and Grand Rapids or Alpena and Detroit. You allow people to customize the way that they think is best able to retain and attract talent.
Right. Something that attracts people to Ishpeming is going to be a lot different than what attracts
Correct.
Them to Grand River, Grand Rapids, or
Correct.
You know, larger cities.
Correct. So that has real consequences if you allow the money to stay where it's raised, which from our perspective is sort of from a statewide perspective is, you know, probably is the right policy in terms of growing the pie, because that will end up with a lot more money staying in the big metros, which are generating most of the tax revenue, and less money going to small towns and rural areas. At the moment, the subsidy works exactly the opposite way, which in terms of a state economy, since most of the state gross state product and most of the residents live in big metros, you really would want the money to stay there. But people need to understand that it will have that distributional effect, that more money will stay in big metros and less go to other areas if you implement the proposal that we made. We think it's the right thing to do, but it's certainly worth debating.
And are you moving forward with trying to implement some of those policy recommendations?
Right. So Michigan Future doesn't lobby. So this project, this Path to 21st Century, a Path to Good-Paying Careers for All Michiganders, is the first time Michigan Future, and we've been around for 25 years, has done a state policy agenda. And we basically ended up deciding that we needed to do it because of a growing frustration that we continue to have a politics, both parties who are competing on which party can turn the clock back the best and make sort of the economy of the 50s or 90s work again, which is not possible. You can win elections on it, but you can't govern on it. So we did the agenda. The goal is to try to encourage some candidates in both parties to run on an agenda about helping Michiganders succeed in a 21st century economy. We're doing that by talking to candidates directly and then also trying to talk to and encourage folks who influence candidates to also talk to the candidates about this kind of an agenda. So that's our strategy. It's not to lobby for specific bills. Mm-hmm. It's to get people who are running for office in 2018 and beyond to run an agenda designed to grow the Michigan economy and help Michiganders succeed in the economy we live in today, rather than promising them that we can make the economy of 50 years ago work again.
And what kind of response are you getting from candidates or potential candidates you're talking with?
Yeah, I would base, by and large, I would describe it as polite. You know, people listen, but I don't think at the moment that they're ready to run on it. I will hope to be surprised. So I think the way we're going to get candidates in both parties to run on it is if they start to hear from constituents they care about that this stuff matters. That, and by and large, candidates tell me that this is that we're bringing them a new message that they don't hear from people. So we need your members and community leaders around the state to start talking to candidates about this is the right in both parties that this is the right thing to run on. At the moment, by and large, the candidates we've talked to say they don't hear that from anybody locally. So that's one of the things that we've got to change.
Well, your message certainly speaks to our members keeping more revenue sharing in their communities and giving them more control. That's definitely something that's on their agendas, yes.
Right. Well, I assume they hear that. I assume candidates hear that, but yeah. So that part of the message, I'm sure they hear, but this notion that talent is what's driving the economy, in order to concentrate talent, you have to do placemaking, that's sort of an economic development priority. And the way that you do it is by creating high density, high amenity neighborhoods where people don't have to drive. That part of the story, I don't think at least candidates tell us they're not hearing from anybody.
Right. We push that message. We're trying to get that out on a regular basis, but it's something that you have to keep moving at, keep pushing at. Yeah.
Yeah, no question. So, right. So I think if you're going to change, well, there's two things that'll change candidates. One is people who believe it running. You know, and there are people around the state who do believe it, and they've just got to come forward and run on it.
Right.
But for those who haven't heard it, it's not part of their thinking about how to grow the economy. They're going to have to start hearing it from a lot more people before they have the courage to run on it. I do think most people believe that if you don't promise people you can get their old job back for them, that they're going to lose. I don't believe that's true, but that's what candidates believe. So that's, to me, that's the big barrier at the moment.
So it's a little bit changing their mindset.
Exactly. Well, and it's also being willing to be honest with people, because the reality is politicians cannot bring old jobs back, particularly jobs that have been automated away.
And
more and more jobs are going to be automated away.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the reality of the world that we're living in. You know, as I keep saying to everybody, all of us, if we had a choice, would choose not to have our jobs automated away. It just, we don't have a choice.
We like our jobs, yeah.
Exactly. You know, so there's nothing politicians can do to stop trucks from driving themselves. It'd be great if we could, but we can't. So we've got to have a politics that's connected to the world we're living in rather than the world that we used to live in.
Have to be adaptable, yeah.
Well, people have to be adaptable. And communities do too, by the way. I mean, one of the things that nobody saw coming, but it's here and it's reality, is this high portion of millennials who want to live in cities. That wasn't predicted.
Right.
And what really wasn't predicted is they don't want to own a car.
Yeah, unusual.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the point that those two things are true, communities have to adapt or else they're going to lose their millennials. And nobody wants to lose their millennials because that's a future workforce.
Absolutely.
So if you're not adaptable, you're going to be at a huge competitive advantage as a community.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for today, Lou. I really want to thank you for joining us. This
My
has
pleasure.
Been a very interesting conversation. If you'd like to learn more about Lou's work with Michigan Future Inc. and his report, A Path to Good Paying Careers for All Michiganders, his article was in the September-October 2017 issue of The Review, available at mml.org. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.